at a marrying age. Whoops. Don't know how old Samson is, but we meet Samson. And he seems very familiar to us because of our knowledge of his origin, of what we know about him. It's a very popular story. The motivations that drove his actions. But in spite of those things that we know about Samson's personality, God still used him for his purpose. Let's go ahead and pray and jump into tonight's passage. Lord, I thank you for these things, God. I praise you, Lord, for who you are. And God, I just pray that you would soften us, Lord, into receiving what you have for us tonight, God. This message of hope and love, Lord, in the midst of crazy circumstances, God. And we just submit this time to you, Lord. I ask that you would just continue your work in molding and shaping us, Lord. We praise you, and it's in your name, Jesus, that we pray. Amen. So verse 1 starts. It says, "Now Samson went down to Timnah and saw a woman in Timnah of the daughters of the Philistines. So he went and told his father and mother, saying, 'I have seen a woman in Timnah of the daughters of the Philistines. Now, therefore, get her for me for a wife.' Then his father and mother said to him, 'Is there no woman among the daughters of your brethren or among all my people that you must go and get a wife from the uncircumcised Philistines?' And Samson said to his father, 'Get her for me, for she pleases me well.' But his father and mother did not know that it was of the Lord, that he, the Lord, was seeking an occasion to move against the Philistines. For at that time, the Philistines had dominion over Israel. So Samson went down to Timnah with his father and mother and came to the vineyards of Timnah. Now, to his surprise, a young lion came roaring against him and saw, and the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him, and he tore the lion apart, as one would have torn apart a young goat, though he had nothing in his hand. But he did not tell his father or his mother what he had done. Then he went down and talked with the woman, and she pleased Samson well. After some time, and when he returned to get her, he turned aside to see the carcass of the lion. And behold, a woman, a swarm of bees and honey were in the carcass of the lion. He took some of it in his hands and went along eating. When he came to his father and mother, he gave some to them, and they also ate. But he did not tell them that he had taken the honey out of the carcass of the lion. So his father went down to the woman, and Samson gave a feast there, for young men used to do so. And it happened when they saw him that they brought 30 companions to be with him. Then Samson said to them, 'Let me pose a riddle to you. If you can correctly solve and explain it to me within the 7 days of the feast, then I will give you 30 linen garments and 30 changes of clothing. But if you cannot explain it to me, then you shall give me 30 linen garments and 30 changes of clothing.' And they said to him, 'Pose your riddle that we may hear it.' So he said to them, 'Out of the eater something to eat, and out of the strong something sweet.' Now for the 3 days they could not explain the riddle. But it came to pass on the seventh day that they said to Samson's wife, 'Entice your husband that he may explain the riddle to us, or else we will burn you in your father's house with fire. Have you invited us in order to take what is ours? Is that not so?' Then Samson's wife wept on him and said, 'You only hate me. You do not love me. You have posed a riddle to the sons of my people, but you have not explained it to me.' And he said to her, 'Look, I have not explained it to my father or my mother, so should I explain it to you?' Now she had wept on him the 7 days while the feast lasted, and it happened on the seventh day that he told her because she pressed him so much. Then she explained the riddle to the sons of her people. So the men of the city said to him on the seventh day before the sun went down, 'What is sweeter than honey, and what is stronger than a lion?' And he said to them, 'If you had not plowed with my heifer, then you would not have solved my riddle.' Then the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him, and he went down to Ashkelon and killed 30 of their men, took their apparel and gave the changes of clothing to those who had explained the riddle. So his anger was aroused, and he went back up to his father's house. And Samson's wife was given to his companion, who had been his best man. Big fat yikes. So let's take a second to remember, right, what the Nazarite vow is, right? Because that's what Samson is under. And what really, I mean, honestly, his mom was under a Nazaritic vow as well as while she was while he was being born. But so the Nazaritic vow, is, it says, you know, no grapes, aged or fresh, juice or wine, and no raisins, right? So no grape, nothing from the vine that you eat or drink at all. Don't cut your hair. Also, that's the prevalent thing that we know is you're not to cut your hair on your face or on your head. Nazarite means, literally, it means to separate or to be consecrated, right? Set apart. And so if you think about it, in Israel, grapes are everywhere, and they are used in everything, right? They're used in cooking. They're used in celebration. In healing, they're used in healing, medicinal purposes. So dedication away from something as prevalent as grapes requires a lot of self-control and reliance on God. For me, when my hair gets too long, I want to cut it off, right? Like, reliance on God in that moment when my hair is getting long and unruly. But this requires a lot of self-control for somebody who was taking a Nazaritic vow. So it says in verse 1, now when Samson went down to Timnah and saw a woman in Timnah of the daughters of the Philistines. So he went up and told his father and mother, saying, I have seen a woman in Timnah of the daughters of the Philistines. Now therefore get her for me as a wife. So Samson sees a woman he desires, and that's that for him. Right, get her for me as a wife, he says, without taking into consideration what God had told Israel about intermarrying with other nations. And we know that from Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 3, right? I don't have that up there, but it says, like, God expressly told Israel, don't intermarry with them, lest you be taken into, you know, worshiping their gods. And we've talked about that several times over the course of the last couple months. So, but he trusts what his eyes see, allowing his desire to dictate his actions. How often do I, right, allow my eyes to do the same thing? How often am I driven by my desires that lead me astray from the path God has for me to walk out? Right? If we are looking within, we can all say the same thing at different times in our life. And Samson's parents ask him, isn't there any other lady of our people? Perhaps they remember what God says about intermarrying, right, with other nations. But Samson says, get her for me. She's the one that I want, right? Because my eyes have seen her, right? It says, for she pleases me well, literally meaning she is right in my eyes. So it says in verse 4, but his father and mother did not know that it was of the Lord that he was seeking an occasion to move against the Philistines. Even when we don't understand what is going on in our life, why things are playing out the way they are, God, what are you doing? Why are you in, you know, having things play out the way they are, right? Isaiah 55:8 tells us, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways. It's a comforting thing to rest in. Not all the time. We don't know if Samson had to do any more persuading for his parents. It just says in the very next verse that Samson went down to Timnah with his father and mother. So maybe they just give a big old, okay, you know, okay, whatever, shrug. And it came to the vineyards of Timnah right in the heart of the very thing Samson was made a vow to stay away from, the grapes. They're in a vineyard. Right? 1 Peter 5:8 warns us about what's about to happen next. It says, be sober, be vigilant, for your adversary, the devil, walks around like a roaring lion seeking who he may devour. Now, to his surprise, a young lion came roaring against him. When we journey into those areas of our lives where God has warned us to stay out of, to not go, don't do that, don't go to that place, the enemy is waiting for us. Psalm 140, verse 5 says, the proud have hidden a snare for me in cords. They have spread a net by the wayside. They have set traps for me. But David, who wrote that psalm, acknowledges in the next verse of that psalm that it's God's strength that saves him. And verse 6 in Judges, in the verse we're reading tonight, says, and the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him, and he tore the lion apart as one would have torn apart a young goat, though he had nothing in his hand. So I've never torn apart a young goat, and I've never torn apart a lion, so I don't know how easy it is in comparison. I imagine it's difficult. Like, it would be difficult for me to tear apart a goat, too, so I don't know what that's saying about the ease of it, but he did it with nothing in his hands. And I think when I'm reading this, I don't know, because Scripture doesn't tell us if this was the first time that Samson had seen his strength in action, but I think about the first Spider-Man that came out in 2001, right, where Peter Parker is noticing the morning after when he becomes, like, after he got bitten by the spider, he realizes, oh, like, I am stronger now, and I can shoot webs, and this is insane. This is really cool. And that's what I kind of see from Samson here, is the Spirit of the Lord coming upon him mightily and him doing this thing. It's easy for us in moments where we have, where we see our talents, right? We see ways that God has blessed us to take those things and to aspire them, or think wrongly that, oh, it's me, I've done this thing, right? Samson's hair. We know that God had blessed him. It says at the end of chapter 13 there that God had began to stir in him and to bless him. So we know that God has blessed him throughout the course of his life to this point. And we don't know really what Samson's relationship was with the Lord, or how closely, how strongly he was following his vow. But we do know that, right, he has this strength. And he goes and didn't tell his father and mother, who were traveling with him. He didn't tell his father and mother what he had done. And maybe because he knew, right, from his vow that killing an animal was against it, and didn't want his parents asking questions. But the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him again, and it was not Samson's strength. And we know that. Certainly it wasn't his hair, but God who provided Samson with the ability to resist the lion, and God who protected him. 2 Thessalonians 3:3 says, but the Lord is faithful, who will establish you and guard you from the evil one. In Psalm 73:26 says, my flesh and my heart fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. So he went down and talked with the woman, and she pleased Samson well. And we don't know what they talked about. Maybe they talked about his dedication to the Lord. Maybe they talked about other stuff. Who knows? But Samson was happy enough. It says, after some time, when he went down to get her, i.e. marry her, he turned aside to see the carcass of the lion, and behold, a swarm of bees and honey were in the carcass of the lion. And at this time, right in that traditional Hebrew Jewish wedding, he and this woman would have already been betrothed. And so he's going down to Timnah again after this time passes to have the wedding ceremony. And so he's going down there to throw the feast after. So it's literally the wedding ceremony right before they consummate the marriage. And he, again, is traveling along and maybe along the same road, thinks, oh yeah, I remember that thing that happened a while ago. Let me go check and see if the lion's still there, because that was pretty insane. And behold, he sees bees and honey were in the carcass of the lion. I'm going to pause here for a second, because this is really, really beautiful in Scripture. Because it's easy to sort of just write off this moment and say, well, okay, right. Samson, it says that Samson took some in his hands and eats it. And so it's really easy to write that off and just say, okay, well, he broke his vow, that's it. But I do believe that the honey and the bees are very specific and significant in this story. Because honey, if you didn't know, like raw honey, has medicinal properties that act against, right, decay. And so the sugar content in honey, if you were to pour it into, say, an open wound, which they did in ancient times, they used honey for wounds, pouring it in an open wound, the sugar takes out any moisture of the area, killing bacteria and things like that. And so you look at the honey in the carcass of the lion, and it speaks to me restoration in a situation where maybe Samson had felt shame, maybe at killing this lion and therefore breaking his vow, maybe possibly. God had taken a scene of violence, had transformed it into a scene of wonder, a scene of joy. The honey is a significant display of God's work, a breadcrumb, if you will, on the path, reminding us that God is still in control. Hebrews 12:2 says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. So because of what Jesus did for you and me, we no longer walk in shame. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And with this new life, with the joy that Jesus has given us through his sacrifice, we are called to give to others so they might share in that joy. Verse 9 says, he took some of it in his hands and went along eating. When he came to his father and mother, he gave some to them and they also ate. But he did not tell them that he had taken the honey out of the carcass of the lion. We, as Christians, as bearers of the Holy Spirit, of the truth of God, of the gospel, we are called to do exactly the opposite of what Samson does here. We are called to speak boldly about the joy that is in us. Jesus says in Matthew 10:32, whoever confesses me before men, him I will also confess before my Father who is in heaven. And 1 Peter 3:15 encourages us to be ready to do that every day. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Right. Somebody asks me, Daniel, why are you so happy? I got some honey out of a lion. I found it in a dead lion. That's my joy. No. I tell them what God has done for me. I tell them my testimony, right? Share your origin story. Where have you come from? What has God done for you? What has God taken you out of? What has he led you through that you didn't think you could get through? And verse 10 says, and Samson gave a feast there for the young men. For the young men used to do so. And it happened when they saw him that they brought 30 companions to be with him. So it's party time. And even if Samson was not found drinking, right, this is an event that there's wine everywhere. There's partying, there's laughter, there's happiness, but there's wine everywhere. Even if he wasn't found drinking, being in the midst of others who would have been drinking would be dangerous to his vow. Proverbs 22:3 reminds us that a prudent man foresees evil and hides himself, but the simple pass on and are punished. And Samson says to the men who have gathered around, let me pose a riddle to you. If you can correctly solve and explain it to me within the 7 days of the feast, then I will give you 30 linen garments and 30 changes of clothing. But if you cannot explain it to me, then you shall give me 30 linen garments and 30 changes of clothing. And they said to him, pose your riddle that we may hear it. And so he gave the riddle. He said, out of the eater, something to eat, and out of the strong, something sweet. Now, for 3 days, they could not explain the riddle, but it came to pass on the seventh day that they said to Samson's wife, entice your husband that he may explain the riddle to us, or else we'll burn you and your father's house with fire. So Samson's wife weeps on him for a long time, the entirety of this feast, constantly bugging him. You only hate me. You don't love me. You've posed a riddle to the sons of my people, but you haven't told me about it. And he says to her, look, I'm going to explain it to anybody, right? I haven't told my mom, my dad, the people who are closest to me. Why should I explain it to you? So we see red flags over this marriage all over the place. Right. She had wept on him the 7 days while their feast lasted. So this is a reason why God had warned us away from intermarrying, right? Because their values are not the same. And his wife bugged him through the whole feast. Maybe it was out of disloyalty, more loyalty toward the sons of her people, possibly out of fear for her own life. Remember, they threatened her and her dad and her family, will burn you with fire. Mostly, I think it's because she didn't trust her new husband to protect her from threats. Right? Would Samson not have protected his wife if she had just said, hey, like, these guys came to me and they threatened to kill us if you don't tell me the riddle? How would he have acted in that moment? So speaking into that, you know, Proverbs 3:5-6, we know it well. It says, tells where our trust is founded. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lead not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. And obviously, I'm not equating Samson to the Lord here. But in a very real sense, Jesus is our bridegroom. And we trust in him, right? He will direct our paths. He will protect us. And so it happened on the seventh day that he told her, because she pressed him so much. Then she explains, she goes straight to the sons of her people. So the men of the city said to him on the seventh day before the sun went down, what is sweeter than honey and what is stronger than a lion? And he said to them, if you had not plowed with my heifer, you would not have solved my riddle. So in other words, you went to my wife behind my back in order to cheat me. Right? This, if you think about it, I would be incredibly insulted. He was probably incredibly insulted by his wife being enticed and manipulated to manipulate him by these men. So it says, then the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him, and he went down to Ashkelon and killed 30 of their men, took their apparel, and gave the changes of clothing to those who had explained the riddle. So he's still faithful in his side of losing the bet. But God had empowered him to take this action. And I wanna distinguish here, because in two instances in this passage, we see the Spirit of the Lord coming upon mightily upon Samson to fulfill God's plan. And there is a distinction that we can make between Samson in our passage tonight and in us today. Samson did not have the Holy Spirit the way that you and I have the Holy Spirit. Galatians 2:20 says, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave his life for me, gave himself for me. In other areas of Scripture, for example, Elijah in 1 Kings, he is taken, like the Lord comes mightily upon him to beat a chariot on the way to the city. He beats Ahaz and his chariots. And so that's another instance of God coming upon a man to do his will and empowering, right, his glory. But we see in the New Testament, in the book of Acts, where Philip goes to preach the Lord to an Ethiopian. And when he approaches, or when he sees the Ethiopian in his chariot, it says the Spirit said to him, the Spirit spoke to him, go to do this thing. Right? And so there's a distinction there. He spoke to his heart. Philip, having received the blessing of the Holy Spirit, could now distinguish that voice. And so we see Samson here being and feeling betrayed by his new bride, by his companions. It says, but Samson's anger was aroused, and he went back up to his father's house. Now, traditionally, at the end of the wedding, the bride and groom would go together, and they would go back to the groom's house as a pair, right? But Samson goes alone in his anger. It's a very good thing that our Savior, our bridegroom, is coming back to get us and to bring us back home with him someday soon. It's a beautiful thing. Because when Christ was here, being betrayed by the people who should have been his people, who loved him and betrayed him to the cross, which was God's plan, was God's will. He had every right to come down from that cross and say, see you guys, we're done, and go to heaven without us and leave us here. It was in his right to do that. But his abounding love for you and for me, he will come back for his bride. And he will take us home so that we can be with him for the wedding, and it'll be awesome. Until that happens, we are called to be ready and make ourselves useful in the present. 2 Timothy 2, verses 20 to 22 says, "But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay, some for honor and some for dishonor. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter, he will be a vessel for honor, sanctified and useful for the master, prepared for every good work." It says, "Flee also youthful lusts, but pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart." God used Samson for his glory and to bring about his plan in spite of Samson's many weaknesses toward women, maybe toward wine, maybe certainly weakness toward his emotions. And he can and will use you and me in spite of our weaknesses. But I think about, you know, if Samson had made himself more useful in really seeking God out, in really seeking to uphold that vow with everything that he was, right? Not chasing so easily those desires, how much more useful would he have been to the Lord? Now, we identify with God because he chose us. He chose each and every one of us. So worry not about where you came from. Worry not about the motivations that drove you to this place. What desires you fall victim to. Worry not about your origin story. What is in the past, right? But Hebrews 12:1 tells us, "Therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us." Can we get on board with that, with putting aside those desires, right? Learning from chapter 14 of Judges. Learning to really seek and trust in the Lord with all our hearts. Amen? Amen. Lord, I thank you, God, for this message, Lord, of truth and encouragement, Lord. And I pray that you would just, Lord, lead us from this place, God, in your ways, God. Help us against, Lord, those desires that so easily ensnare us. Lord, we praise you for your long-suffering, God, and your love for us each and every day. It's in your precious, powerful name, Jesus, that we pray. Amen.